From Luke 9. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they'd done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew to themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we're in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for this whole crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of 50. The disciples did so, and everyone sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over." This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, this is called God Speaks to Us in Feeding Stories, and we're going to read the story about this feeding. This one is based on a little bit on how John tells the story, and he includes a particular detail about a little kid who is the one who has the loaves and fishes. Here we go. Jesus feeds the people in the desert. People were so happy to be with Jesus because of all the miracles that he did to make them well. But it happened that Jesus became very tired, and he wanted to rest someplace quiet. So Jesus crossed the lake in a boat and ended up on the opposite shore. When the people saw that he was going over to the desert, they ran around the lake to meet him. The run made the people very tired and hungry. Jesus was tired, but he felt pity for the people. He wanted to feed them. But his disciples and his friends reminded Jesus that in the desert, there are no stores. Jesus had already had a better idea anyway. He found out that a little boy had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus knew that the same God who had created the whole world and all that is in it could see what had happened and cared about all the people who were now very hungry. Jesus knew that God was a lot like the mother of the little boy who had packed the food for her son. So Jesus asked God to make lunch for all these children of God out there in the desert. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven to pray. Then he blessed the loaves and the fish, which at first seemed like nothing for thousands of hungry people. But soon everyone had enough to eat. They were very happy and relaxed. The disciples of Jesus had distributed the food, and everyone had taken it. Now the disciples went around gathering all the leftovers so that nothing would be wasted. Even at the end, after all the thousands of people had eaten, there still were many baskets of food left over. So it was that God, through Jesus, fed 5,000 men who were there that day. Of course, the number was more than triple that when the women and children were counted too. After the people had eaten their fill, they praised God who performed miracles among them through Jesus. The children ran around full of energy now. They picked flowers in the desert. The adults were content and eager to hear more of Jesus' teaching about the wonderful ways of God. God speaks to us through this feeding story, showing us that our needs will always be taken care of if we rely on God. There was no grocery store, yeah. Okay, what do you think it would have been like to be that little boy who had the 5 loaves and 2 fish? Yeah. It's true, you'd want to help, but you'd also be like, oh, I'm hungry too. Am I going to give it up? Yeah. It was a little bit risky to give up what he had, right? But what happened? Yeah, he got fed. Who else got fed? Everyone got fed. Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for coming to the story time. Y'all can go back and sit with your parents if you want. So today, we are continuing to explore community and mission with Jesus in our sermon series, Around the Table and On the Way. And today we arrive at a table story. But the table story, it's a table story without a physical table. And as we will see, the story is really as much about mission with Jesus as it is a picture of Jesus' community. At the very beginning of chapter 9 of Luke, where we find our story today, Jesus calls the 12 disciples and sends them out with power and authority to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. They depart and go from village to village doing this. The 12 return from this first mission with stories to tell Jesus. I imagine them returning kind of like children who are coming home after an eventful trip. You know, and then this happened, and we said this, and then this person came, and they were healed, and it was incredible. So excited. But we can also imagine how tired they were. A good tired feeling, you know, when you've worked really hard and feel satisfied and exhausted at the same time. Having sent the 12 out to do the kinds of things that Jesus has been doing, Jesus now invites them to follow his own pattern that we saw earlier in Luke 5. He takes them with him to withdraw to a remote place. So this is a wonderful, healthy model of action and work followed by withdrawing and rest, and presumably prayer, since that's what we're told Jesus did in his withdrawing. Only problem is, it doesn't work out like that. The crowds find out where he's going and follow Jesus. They have no respect for boundaries. And Jesus welcomes the crowd. He teaches about the kingdom of God, and he heals the sick all day long. As it gets later and later, finally, the 12 come up to Jesus. It seems they approach him as a group, a little power in numbers, and they tell Jesus what to do. Send the crowd away. So I just want to point out that they are giving the orders to Jesus. They're not asking a question. They're not coming with curiosity or a concern. They are giving a command. And in case Jesus is oblivious, which they seem to think he is, they explain that the people need to go find food and lodging in surrounding places because, if he hasn't noticed, they are in a remote place. There are no restaurants or food options nearby. Luke doesn't tell us explicitly how the disciples are feeling, but we've got some clues that they, understandably, might not have the best attitude at that moment. They are tired and hungry, and their rest day just got interrupted. Jesus replies, "You give them something to eat." Okay, if I were the disciples, I would be ticked off and frustrated. I would be so annoyed at this response. I'm already tired, and now I need to provide the food plan? It sounds to me like Jesus is shirking responsibility and unfairly placing it on his disciples. After all, Jesus is the one who got them into this situation. He led them to a remote place. He welcomed and kept the crowd there. He is the one who didn't consider logistical implications of all of this. If I'm honest, I don't like the sound of Jesus right here. This sounds like a Jesus that I don't want to work for, a relentless taskmaster who doesn't stop, who after asking so much of me, it's still not enough. And then, you know, am I supposed to feel bad? Because, of course, if I were more loving and compassionate, I wouldn't be so grumpy about it all. So I don't know if anyone can relate. Maybe it's just me. But that is what comes up when I hear Jesus telling his disciples, "You give them something to eat." They tell Jesus what they have. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Unless we go buy food for all this crowd, they add. And I think we can be pretty sure that that statement is sarcastic, not sincere, because after all, they know, we know, Jesus knows that they have no money to buy food. Jesus just gave them clear instructions when he sent them out not to carry any money with them. So how does Jesus respond? No comment on the amount of food. He gives them some organizational instructions. He breaks it down. He has the disciples sit people by groups of 50, about 50, and the 12 do what he says. Jesus takes the food, looks up to heaven, blesses and breaks it. Jesus gives the blessed and broken food to his disciples and has them distribute it to the people. All ate, all were satisfied. There was enough. There was more than enough. The disciples collect 12 baskets of broken pieces, leftovers. More than enough. Much, much more than enough. Jesus takes the loaves and fishes and makes it more than enough. There's a very practical side to this miracle. Practically, a huge, hungry crowd needs a food plan. But what Jesus is doing here is deeply symbolic as well. This miraculous feeding is the only miracle besides the resurrection that's recorded in all the four gospel accounts. I think that's significant to notice. We have masses of people gathered in this remote place who are hungry. Hungry for Jesus' teaching, hungry for his healing power, and hungry for literal food. And Jesus is not overwhelmed by the needs. The word that's used here for remote place is eremo, which means wilderness. So Jesus is providing bread in the wilderness. This miracle recalls another time that God's people have needed the miraculous provision of food in the wilderness, when God provided manna in the desert, an experience that became foundational for the Israelites' understanding that their God would provide for their needs. In this miraculous feeding, Jesus is embodying the care and provision of Yahweh God, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Jesus is being the Good Shepherd. He is offering a picture of the abundance of his table. At Jesus' table, there is more than enough. It is a place where your hunger is satisfied. At Jesus' table, there is room, and there is provision for all who are hungry. And there are abundant leftovers. There is more than enough for those who are not yet at the table. Jesus-led community is a place of welcome, generosity, abundant provision. It is a place where you can trust that your needs will be met. So, what about the 12 disciples' needs? How is Jesus meeting their needs in this story? Of course, they need food and rest, but they are also in an intensive apprenticeship season. They are learning how to do mission with Jesus. They need to learn how to navigate the overwhelming needs of the masses of people that Jesus cares for when they themselves have limited resources. Jesus is teaching them how they will serve. They will offer what they have: 5 loaves, 2 fish. What they have is underwhelming, to say the least. It's comical how little they have to work with. It's almost a joke. When we have 5 loaves and 2 fish, when we have limited resources and there is big need, I think that there is a tendency to 3 different responses. We can respond with hoarding and self-preservation, paralysis and despair, or overfunctioning and burnout. So one response to not having much to give is to hold on tightly to what you have. I find myself doing this when I am operating out of mindset of scarcity. When I do not trust that my needs will be met in the future, I store up everything I can. When I do not trust that anyone else is looking out for my needs, I am definitely holding on to those loaves and fish. But when you are living under the care of a good shepherd, when you have experienced the generosity of Jesus' table and community, you can loosen your grip and offer what you have to give, trusting that your needs also will be met. Another understandable response to 5 loaves and 2 fish with more than 5,000 hungry people is paralysis and despair. Why even bother trying? It's like this meme of one little excavator trying to dig out a giant cargo ship. Perhaps some of us can relate to experiences where the little we have to bring to the enormity of the situation we are up against is almost comical. Perhaps this week, some of us are feeling the overwhelming needs of our communities, especially of those who are most vulnerable and least resourced. Perhaps we are feeling the enormity of the work of justice, the proliferation of violence and wars, and anything we might do would feel like a little excavator against a giant cargo ship. But Jesus is inviting the 12 not to be overwhelmed, but to go ahead and bring their loaves and fishes, and trust that Jesus can take those loaves and fishes and somehow make it enough. Now, the third way we might respond to having only 5 loaves and 2 fish, very limited resources to meet a very large need, is to pretend and act like we actually have more than that to give, to take on the burden of making it work, to hustle and push beyond our capacities, to pray for the miracle but then work ourselves to exhaustion to make it happen. And although this response may look noble, it is an overfunctioning response that reveals our lack of real trust in Jesus to show up and do what we can't do. Not to mention how often this response leads to, ultimately, to burnout, bitterness, and disillusionment. So this story of the miraculous feeding is a story that I wrestled with for years. And I've had it taught to me in ways that feed into a culture of overworking, where the point of the story is that the disciples were just too fixated on their need for rest. And the lesson is that we should always respond to crowds like Jesus does, even if we're tired. And if we really trust Jesus, we would love people enough to keep going, keep giving, do more, and not be grumpy about it. I've wrestled with this story because I sometimes hear those words of Jesus in my head. Now, most of the time, it's my own internal voice, nobody else's, saying, "You give them something to eat. You do it. You meet their needs." In my experience of ministry, and really in any helping profession, it is very hard to know when it is okay to rest, because the needs are always there. And if we love as Jesus loves, wouldn't we keep going as long as there are needs? I think this challenge exists for many of us who are in jobs that we are passionate about, or where we are in some way caring for people's needs, or where we are addressing significant issues, or where the stakes of what we are doing may have a high impact. We can easily pick up on a voice saying, "It's up to you. You meet those needs. You do the work, or no one else will." During a season when I was part of a team that had a dream big, keep pushing culture, I spent a lot of time with this story, wrestling with it, and wrestling with Jesus in the story. For me, a shift came when I realized that the disciples only gave what they had. No more, no less, but no more. And Jesus did not ask for them to give more than what they had to offer. Jesus doesn't say, "You give them something to eat," and then make them furiously figure out how to do it. He says, "You give them something to eat," and when they tell him what they have, as ridiculously small as it was, he works with it. He receives it. He doesn't ask them to give more than that. He doesn't wait for them to make a pitch for how they will acquire more or multiply their resources. 5 loaves and 2 fish. I think it had to be so little. With such modest resources, there was no way that they were going to make it work through their own efforts. The problem that we run into ourselves is that too often we say that we trust God to provide, or we pray for God to show up, but then we hustle as though it actually is all on us. We stress and worry as though it is all on us. We extend ourselves beyond our actual capacity. That is not what is going on in this story. The disciples bring Jesus what they have, and Jesus is the one who has to make it enough. And he does. He makes the miracle happen. Jesus does the heavy lifting. They offer what they have, no more or less. And in the abundance of Jesus' table, it is enough. This is the alternative response, the kind of fourth response to having only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Generosity, loosening our grasp on what we have, that counters hoarding and self-preservation, actually offering what we have instead of being paralyzed by what we don't have, and not bringing more than what we have, making room for Jesus to be the one who makes it enough from the abundance of his table. The abundance of Jesus' table challenges the scarcity of our world. I've been mulling around this idea that the most effective antidote to a scarcity mindset is humility. Scarcity says, we don't have enough. We are not enough. I am not enough. Humility says, this is what we have. This is who we are. This is who I am. Not pretending to be or have anything more or other, but humility can have an openness, even in our limitations. Humility is not ashamed or discouraged or controlled by our limitations. Humility has room for generosity and action. Humility comes to Jesus' table and offers the comically limited things that we have to offer, our 5 loaves and 2 fish, our time, our skills, our relationships, our material resources, our presence, our hands, our words. Humility knows that only Jesus can make it enough. As we spend time with Jesus around his table of generosity and provision, as we spend time with Jesus amidst the enormity of the needs of our communities, of our country, and our world, what is the invitation for us to participate in God's activity in this world? When you look at the loaves and fishes that you have, and that we have, what is the particular temptation for you? And I want us to think about this at both a communal level. What is our community? What is the temptation? And then in our individual lives, what is the temptation? Is it to see the scarcity and hold on tightly to what you have, your time, your energy, your money, in case no one else is looking out for you? Is it to be overwhelmed and paralyzed by the size of the needs and the persistence of injustice? Or is it to work yourself to exhaustion, extending beyond your capacity, acting as though it's all on you and not God? The invitation to faith in this story is an invitation to generosity and trust. To trust that Jesus can take what we have to offer and make it enough. It's an invitation to not be paralyzed by the overwhelming need, but to still take steps and offer what we have. Jesus isn't asking for us to pretend or act like we are more or have more than we do, but he is inviting us to a community of generosity. Generosity that comes from trusting that we have a good shepherd who is caring for our needs, and that at Jesus' table, there is more than enough. Amen.